Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Inventors Launchpad Network. I am Carmine Danisco, your host for today's show on the licensing jungle. My co-host today is absent from the show, but that's okay. We're going to carry on. I have an awesome guest with me today. Something that everyone needs to know about in the inventor or licensing industry. His name is J.D. Huvner, and he is the CEO president. We'll find out exactly his position there. I think he started Bold IP, which is a great firm. They've been around for many years. He's been practicing. Let's bring him on. Hey, J.D. over there.
Hey, Carmine. How you doing?
How's it going, my friend? We're going to be broadcasting live on Facebook. I just want our listeners and viewers to know if they have some questions, you know, feel free to shoot them over to us, and we'll try to answer them on the show. But what's been happening, man? How's it going over there?
No, it's phenomenal. I mean, aside from a little rain up here in Seattle, all is good. You know, we're excited to get started on the next year. I mean, as we know, people's ideas start bubbling up this time of year, and, you know, usually New Year's resolutions, new ideas pop up. You know, our target client really is those inventors, right? Those sole inventors, either coming off of a job at a big corporate position, and they want to go launch something new. That could be you, right? If you're listening, it could be anybody out there that's tinkering on the side, moonlighting, hoping and dreaming. We love to work with those folks because it's inspiring. And, you know, those are the ideas that are going to help move the technology forward, help change the world. You know, however cheesy that sounds, it's exciting time to be in.
Yeah. And, you know, you're in a great position because when people come to you, they're probably so excited about this new idea that they have. Obviously they got to spend money with you. They got to protect their idea, but you find, I mean, you get them and they're excited. They want to learn and they want to know what to do and they want to take the right steps. And you get to see it right from the beginning, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's cool. It's something to cherish. You know, we do believe first in educating. You know, it's so important to, you know, I guess calm some people down, help reassure them that, hey, welcome. You know, we're not going to charge you for this initial consultation. There's, you know, as you probably know, there's so much info out there, kind of over information and abundance, you know, on Google. Having us be a good resource and educational place for you to come in as the inventor to get the right answers, you know, to get the law, to understand the steps, that there is a process and we've got it under control and we can help guide you through it. It's really comforting and refreshing. We help inventors figure out kind of big threshold questions like, gosh, you know, is this even something patent eligible? You know, does this even fit in the whole genre? And, you know, we're going to start offering just next year free patent eligibility analysis. And it's I'm really proud of that. It's an initiative that our group came up with as a team. You know, our attorneys are more than, you know, patent attorneys. We think of the business side, and it's really important for us to make sure that we're delivering not just a piece of paper, you know, patent at the end of the day. We want to make sure we deliver something that the client is happy with. It's going to help them, you know, change the market, get into the market, make money if that's their goal. And they can't do it without really having foresight right up front. And so that's one of the things we're going to do next year. I'm excited to offer it.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the reasons I loved that you were going to be on the show today, because I've heard from so many of your past clients that you don't just offer, here's your piece of paper. Like, they getting guidance from you from the beginning, like you're helping them really set the foundation. You know, you're not just like, oh, let's just patent your idea, put it on the wall, and now what are you going to do? And so many times an inventor is excited and they don't see all the little things, all the little puzzle pieces. And from your past clients, I've heard that you guys fill in those little puzzle pieces and then you say, okay, now it's time, which I think is great. You do so much educating on your site. You give away things that people need. You're not just there to say, oh, here's your bill. And I think that's why not only are you so busy, but that you have a great reputation in the industry. I think it's awesome.
Yeah. Thanks, Carmine. Yeah, it's fun. I mean, it's, you know, the inventors are, you know, technologists. You know, they're the ones that get the, you know, the technology, right? And they're not always thinking about, you know, how to bring it to market. The bigger picture, you know, am I going to potentially sell this or license this? It's just all about the solution and trying to solve the problem. And it's important to think about if they're going to bring other people in, you know, to a business, what that's going to mean as far as, you know, putting an operating agreement in place, forming an entity, and some of those simple things to an attorney are not so simple and just don't come to mind to those technologists because they're just in the weeds, in the detail. And so that's something we help bring to life and make sure that they don't get forgotten. So it's a big piece about, you know, kind of long-term vision.
Mm. Yeah, no, that's good. And everything should be long-term. They have to have a plan. They can't just go here, go here, go there. There has to be a sequential plan in place. And it's good to have somebody like yourself who's not emotionally attached, who's going to give them some advice because, you know, you're a step back. You're like, you see the business side of it, which is super important. Now, I know you you founded Bold IP. Is that correct? You founded the...
Right. Yeah, we set it up 5 years now ago. We're at Bold IP. Its main mission, you know, is patent law. But we definitely don't forget about the business aspects, including trademark law. So we do cover copyright and trade secret, even though our main specialty is in patent law. It's, like I said, it's a big deal to think about the bigger picture. And so along with business planning comes protection of your brand, right? How your business is going to go out and serve goods and services. And what that's going to mean as you develop goodwill in the community and start selling. It's really fun to kind of deliver on all aspects of that.
Yeah. And I know you guys have been exponentially growing. Do you see an increase as the economy, as the market gets better? Do you see kind of an increase in people coming to you saying, hey, I got this idea. I haven't been able to do it prior, or I'm able to get some loans. I wanted to get some money and get this going. Or has it kind of been smoothed out, you know, basically the same all the way through?
Yeah, no, I mean, since I would say, you know, 2013, you know, the market's been, look at the stock market, right? It has gone up. People's resistance to spending that extra money instead of saving it has been decreased, right? They're actually able to free it. The capital has been freed up. The rates for mortgages or that kind of thing have remained kind of low. So people have been able to refinance and get free some funds, you know, some play money, I guess you could call it. And it's exciting because I think there's an inventor in everyone. And, you know, it having that capital, the ability, you know, the economy improving and job market improving, it's enabled people to think about, gosh, you know, I'm sitting on the couch 3-4 hours a night and I could instead be doing something else. I could be chasing a passion. Mm. I've got this time after work. And I've got the money now to maybe invest and try to secure some of these assets to go chase my dream.
Yeah, I agree. And we've seen a steady increase also over the years of inventors coming in. They're ready to make their product. They're ready to get some samples, prototypes, and things in that sense. Or just even if the idea turns out to not be the next Snuggie, not be the next Pet Rock, at least, and you probably notice this, at least they gave it a shot because they don't want to go through the rest of their life saying, I wish I did this. Or, and you probably hear, they see it on the market already and they go, that was my idea.
You know? Yeah, exactly. Well, and to the, exactly to what you said, Carmen, I mean, what's helping this move is that no longer are 3D printers untouchable? I mean, are these prototyping machines access to, very inexpensive, if not free, you know, 3D modeling software? You know, these are becoming mainstream and like I said, in some cases free to some users. And so it's the access to this technology to be able to reduce something from your head into reality to try to prove the market is getting easier and easier. And it's really fun. I mean, you're right. You don't need to change the world necessarily with these inventions, but it's so cool. You can actually put to 3D real life, you know, a concept you had in your head with, you know, $100, couple $100. Whereas maybe 5 years ago, you're talking thousands. And even before that, you know, you got to go send something to China, get a supply order. It's just the barriers to entry used to be much higher. So there's a lot more innovation. I think that's kind of to your point of just sort of coming together of being able to easily prototype and get things to market is fun.
Yeah. Fun. Well, that's kind of, again, and what I like about what you guys do is you use technology to not only, you know, to not only save the client money, but to speed the process. And a lot of people, not that there's anything wrong with other you know, attorneys. You guys use technology to do those things, which is a great help. Here at Launchpad, we try to close gaps with technology because there's so much technology out there now. Being able to, you know, think of an idea, have a 3D print, and see if it really works. You know, see, okay, I got to spin it around. I got to turn it upside down. At least you know before you start moving forward, before you start spending your resources, there's a lot more information available. And that's what's helping streamline, you know, all of this technology, all of this maker fairs, all of these things. It really is helping the inventors in the long run.
Totally. And I think, you know, what we've done is we try to meet the inventor where they're at. You know, we've painted a picture as to, you know, who our inventors are and what would they want in a attorney and in an advisor, where would they be most comfortable? And that's why we do, you know, it's about 80 to 85% of our consultations through video conferencing, like just what we're doing right here, because people can be at home. You know, they can be in their workshop. They don't need to fight traffic, park, wait in a lobby and sit in a conference room. Those sort of, you know, brick and mortar realities are sort of, you know, my prediction is that they'll be a thing of the past, you know, in 30, 40 years. Because the client that, you know, we believe is going to change the world doesn't want to pay for that. It shouldn't really pay for that. You know, we're able to demonstrate a certain level of quality. I think in some cases, superior level of quality and having a very high touch boutique feel. For our clients, we deliver one-on-one service between attorney to client. That's appreciated. I mean, the, you know, communication this day, you know, everybody is, you know, me included, you know, we need instant feedback. You know, it's like, what's the answer? What are we doing now? And people want to see that, at least that you're handling their case. Even a couple times a day, they want to know you're there, you're responsive. And being a clunky brick and mortar, it's not set up that way. And so we're trying to be agile, making sure we're there for the client that wants to know, wants to be engaged, and know their attorney is listening and active. So that's when we've made a big difference. We use technology ourselves, you know, being a law firm, doing our best to communicate that way.
Yeah. Again, I would agree 100%. The way that our inventors and yours consume information and want to be reached out to, they want to have information, but they want to stay excited. You know, they just want to know that, hey, what's happening? Even if you say, hey, I looked at your product, you know, they would just like, something's happening. So their excitement stays and being able to do that. And I think that a lot of inventors who don't know, do research, they believe that the first step is to go and visit with an IP attorney such as yourself. In reality, is there a time when you would want to see an inventor? Is there a sequence, or what should they do before they come to you? What would your perfect client that walks in your office or contacts you, what should they have done? What shouldn't they do, I guess, is also an important question.
Yeah, no, that's great. So we're, I would say, again, I kind of put myself in the shoes of the inventor. What I would say to them is that, you know, you should come informed to a certain degree, right? You know, before you sit down with an attorney, you want to make sure you maximize your time, or you've got 30 minutes. If this was me, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to prep. Like I want at least like drawings, if not the actual prototype. If it's, you know, if it's a business method or software, I'm going to have a flow chart, written out. I'm going to have done some research. I'm going to say, okay, is this actually new, right? Have I, you know, been in the industry? Have I at least looked cursory at what else is out there? Do I know who I'm going to be competing with? And then the law, I'll probably tinker around on the law. I want to make sure I know who the attorney is that I'm meeting with, who this firm is that I'm going to be meeting with. You know, are they reputable? Do they have experience in my industry? That's a big one, okay? Because a lot of patent attorneys, not every patent attorney can work on every invention, okay, or should. You know, I'm a big advocate for having the proper background. And so we have, at World IP, we've got attorneys that have different backgrounds and industry experience in biochemistry, you know, mechanical, aerospace, electrical. So we're going to cover the gambit so that they can speak the language of the inventor. So do they have those backgrounds? And, you know, once you've done that research, that's enough. You know, once you're able to articulate your invention, to a certain degree, 5 or 10 minutes, now you've got it. If you can actually put your invention, it doesn't have to be perfect, but if you can recite it and be clear about it, you're going to get the best bang for the buck from your attorney. Now, some of these inventors, some people are very protective, very, anxious, about meeting with an attorney or really anyone and sharing their idea. For those folks, what we've done, and even for those that aren't quite as anxious, we published a book and I give it away for free. Okay. So I've got a copy of it. It's available on our website. It's Bold Ideas, the Inventor's Guide to Patents. I wrote it for that anxious inventor, for the someone that just, gosh, meeting with an attorney kind of makes my stomach churn. What am I really doing here? I need to do more research, because we do get a lot of those. Inventors tend to be analytical, and even introverted, right? And they want to make sure they're making the right steps. So this is a collection of, the top 40 questions I've gotten over the years and answers to those. This covers the difference. Some simple stuff that might be embarrassing to ask. What's the difference between a patent and a trademark? What's the difference between a trade secret and a patent? Is this patent eligible? What does the process look like? The answers are here. And so for those inventors, I say, look, take a look at the book first. And only after reading, if you still have questions and you want to move forward, then book a consultation.
That is such good information. And I'm glad that you mentioned it. They're not supposed to know. That's why they're coming to you. They don't need to know everything. They don't need to know the law. They don't need to know the lingo. Just do so. Put some time in. Don't waste your time and theirs. Right. I mean, just coming to your office, using up your time. If they don't have the proper questions, they don't have the right things to ask, or they haven't done any background or homework. I mean, with the internet, they have every piece of information at their fingertips. So use the time wisely. That's that is great advice.
Absolutely. Yeah. And another way to maybe position it is to say, make sure you're bringing an invention, not just an idea. Uh-huh. Right. And so there's a distinction, between, I've written some blogs about this, between an idea and an invention.
Yeah.
So I do say that ideas are dime a dozen. Okay. And I don't mean it in an offensive way, but it really are, something will pop in your head. Oh, that might work. But have you actually thought about it enough so that you could bring it to life? Have you described it, thought it through, solved problems, and articulated it either in paper or, recorded your voice or done a video or prototyped and actually worked through how that would actually be carried out in reality? Have you solved a problem? That would be an invention, right? And so it's sort of that transition in doing the work of an inventor and taking it from idea all the way to invention. That's what we want. That's our best client. Now, are we going to help people that are maybe in the middle? Yes, of course, we'll help them. And we can do things like pull it out of their head for them, right? And so we do things like invention disclosure documents. And we do that for all of our clients because it's important to write it down. We'll take it from their notepads and scripts and we'll document it so that, yes, this is your invention. And of course, it's got, wiggle room on either side and it's got different material types and ways that it could look and variations, but you've got your invention. And so as soon as we kind of pull it out of the inventor's head, that's when we can do our work. But it does happen, 10, 15% of the time where it's like, Mr. and Mr. Smith, this is what you've got as an idea. I want you to go back to the drawing board. I need you to further define this. What you've got is not an invention. You've got a good idea. I think you've got a good start. Book another consult when you're ready. Go for it. We try to be optimistic, of course, and help them think through it, but I don't want to take their money because it's not going to be enough for us to work on. It's like, there's not enough meat on the bone for us to get in there and do our job. So it wouldn't be ethical in my opinion to write an application on just kind of a bare bones idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's great that you say that. 100%. I mean, if you can't help them or they're not prepared for you to help them, you don't want to say, okay, let's go, because they're just not ready. Right. I mean, you can only do so much, and you're not a magician. You have to go by the law. You have to make sure that things are done correctly. So we have a couple questions coming in on Facebook, but I one thing I want to ask you, and we see it a lot here, they're without giving, or changing the names to protect the innocent. Do you get, what's it like a funny idea or a funny inventor that came in that just was just wacky? I mean, we have some great guys that come in, but once in a while we get somebody who's really funny.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, we've got, quite a few folks that will swear up and down that they've invented a perpetual motion machine. Okay. And it absolutely comes in, I'd say once a month, and they're fun to entertain. But it's just, oh my gosh, you know, just trying to figure it out. And every time I try to figure it out and stay with them, and try to explain to me how they're defying physics. Those can be complex. Okay. Don't get me wrong. Some of those are actually have some merit and there is some definite benefit there. But some of them are quite laughable. There's some consumer products that are just outrageous. I think the funniest ones are those involving animals, you know, like pet toys and collars. And it's just like, you know what? There's a market for this. Have you thought about this? And, you know, believe it or not, there is. Some of the things are hilarious. And it's funny because they're the people that actually enlighten us and teach us that there's a market, you know, and there's a product for that. We've seen all kinds of stuff, you know, bathroom stuff. We see toilets. There's a pretty cool one on, that'll automatically unclog a toilet. Some pretty fun things like that. And it's like, wow, okay, I want something like that. Where it's very useful and it's kind of bathroom humor is, you know, yeah, we see all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, that's what makes it fun. I mean, same thing with us here at the Launchpad. We have to make it fun. And even the clients are very serious about their invention. And so are we. We're honored that they're telling them. And I know you guys are that they're trusting us enough to tell us about their idea. But we also have to point them in the right direction and say, you know, like you said, is there a market for this? Is there enough people that will be able to see and get the pain point and buy your product? Because some of the ideas are great, but they aren't going to sell enough units for them to be profitable.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's one of the reasons why I won't take too much time, but we've set up a second entity that's called Bold Ventures, and it's our business consulting firm. Okay. It's separate from the law firm. But I felt it was necessary to set up because it is purely business consulting. It is helping those that need market analysis, that need to put together financials, and they have no idea what to do. Or they, you know, they're ready to go present their technology to a company and they need to put a pitch deck together. Those are the kinds of things that we do. Now, you know, I'm just starting that effort. I'm also building a referral group of people that I think are more experienced in the area, but we're just starting it because I feel for like a lot of clients that we have, they're just lost and they need a lot of help piecing the how to get this to market answer outside of the law.
Good. Well, again, we'll go back to they are lost. The good part is they just have to know that they're not supposed to know. You know,
yeah, I like that.
Yeah, the information's out there. Just, I think what you're saying is spend some time, put some effort in, and allow people to give you that information. I mean, the information that you have, I mean, I love that you have a book. Your website, mm-hmm. by the way, is awesome. It's so informative, which boldip.com, go on out there, our listeners. I mean, you really are showing. Hey, listen, we just want you to be prepared. We'll do your IP work. We'll do your trademark work, but there's a lot more involved, but we'll help you with it. And I think that's so important. You know, people think that they need to know everything and they don't.
You got it. Yep. That's why you have advocates. That's why you have mentors and advisors. It's, you know, no one that has ever made it big and, you know, success has done it alone.
Yeah.
It's just no way. You have to rely and leverage other people's specialties and inspiration and knowledge.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. 100%. So real quick, I had a couple of questions in one. You've probably got this question a lot. I have a question that came in about an NDA and why it is so important to have an NDA signed. But on my end, is the NDA as important as it used to be?
Yeah, I mean, it's a contract. You know, you need to be very careful about using them. For me, it's the second or third option, you know, to really protecting what you have. You know, an inventor comes to me and, you know, they tell me that I'm the first person they've shared it with. I'm like, yes, thank you. You know, it's great. Other times they're like, oh yeah, no, I threw it on Kickstarter a year ago and I've been selling it now here and there. I've shared, my uncle tried pitching it. I'm like, oh no. You know, and so that's the two polar opposites. But in the middle, there's the people that have kind of thought, or they've heard, or they've read on Google, that NDAs are good and you got to use them. in often cases that, you know, the NDA they've got online is drafted, you know, enforceable in a completely different state than they're in. It has some extra terms in there that may be unrelated completely to their invention, but they've just put this thing together because they think they're attorneys and they think they need it. And they're trying to make people sign it. Not only would be unenforceable maybe in their jurisdiction, but the person signing it may not be binding on them. So it's just a lot of problems with contracts. You know, you go try to get someone like a company to sign one, they won't. It just creates some conflict. And the trouble is that even if you had a, you know, a good NDA, you know, you worked with an attorney and had one crafted in your state that was enforceable, if someone were to take your idea, now you're trying to argue it to a judge that, you know, you got this contract here and try to enforce a contract, as opposed to if you had already filed your patent application. Now you've got definitive proof. There's no, you have no worry. You've, once you're filed, you can then share with the public your invention, you know, and you should share it. So I say file first, work with an attorney, then share it. Okay. Because that's going to give you the most freedom and protection. You don't need to worry about relying on contract law. Hope that helps answer the question a little bit.
Yeah, it does. And we hear probably run into the same thing that you do. The NDA, people believe that it's like it's a barrier, like, you know, I have this NDA and it's going to save them. And, you know, we see a lot of products, so it's hard for us to sign NDAs here at Inventor Launchpad. And I think that it's a deterrent if an inventor has an interested party that may want a license or may want to give them a purchase order or something like that. And a lot of people have already filed, they have a provisional or a patent, and they're still asking for NDAs just because they just don't know what to do.
Right. Yeah, exactly. No, and that's an issue too, is that, you know, while it's important to file a provisional application, you should not do it on your own. You really shouldn't. I see so many really poor sorry. I mean, just
a stressful point.
There's no way to sugarcoat it. They're just horrible. And a provisional patent application is something that a professional should do, because it's so important to have a priority locked in, but have it be fully described. Your invention needs to be enabled at the provisional phase in order to make proper reference back to it. The invention needs to actually be able to, you need to be able to hand that sheet of paper with drawings to someone like you in the industry, and they need to be able to make your invention. That's the kind of detail you need to have in your provisional, not a two-pager. It's likely not going to happen, right? A couple of sketches and that's cheap enough. You're not protected. And so maybe then the NDA is not a bad idea, but you need to work with an attorney to get it done right. And then they'll educate you that, no, you don't need an NDA after you file. Or if you're sharing just exactly what was filed and did a good job on it, you do not need to create friction and start throwing NDAs around. You should be at trade shows. You should be producing your product and, you know, validating the market. You know, those are the things that we train our coach, you know, clients to do, you know, work with companies like yours that, you know, at the Launchpad. Those are great resources to use. Hope that helps.
Yeah. Help people kind of understand. It definitely does. And I'm sure that you hear about it. There's just a lot of, what I feel is there's just a lot of confusion around the NDA. I really do. Yeah. And one of those things that when I hear it, I really just want to talk to the client or talk to the inventor and say, listen, you really, you know, you might be hurting yourself by this NDA. As you said, they get them from their friend and they're poorly put together. It's not a blanket protection. It's a real sore subject. And I believe, and I like that the inventor is taking the idea and the issue to try to protect their idea. But a lot of times it's really hurting them in the long run.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, no. So I didn't realize that you guys were starting up the initiative with the business help, which I think is an awesome idea. Is that something that, you know, you just saw a lot of need in the market? You said, hey, let's get this going so people can, you know, learn even more.
Yeah, I mean, it's with clients that are starting up projects, you know, that need help getting them started. You know, we feel like, yeah, we're helping them with their technology, But how do we get them to the next level? You know, even if it's getting them prepared to license and sell it, you've got to do a certain amount of, you know, hitting the streets, knocking on doors, presenting, working with brokers. You know, we've even done a little brokering ourselves, but it's building a network that we can support our clients in the best way possible. Not saying, oh yeah, we got your legal work, but good luck hitting the market. You know, now we want to be there to catch them if they need help. So we're offering a full service business consulting arm. And that's what this Bold Ventures is it's, you know, it's helping them think about, well, how do I bring a partner in? How do I look at the industry? How much market share could I potentially get, you know, putting together those decks that are going to be convincing and that are going to show, as you said, the pain in the market. You know, what problem is out there, and how is your solution different than others? And that's not easy to do. You've got to think about how to present the data, and put that out there.
Yeah. I think it's great. There's so many steps that the inventors, they just don't want to think about it. They might not know. Even myself, we always go to the things that we know, the things that are easiest. But there's so many other steps that, you know, a lot of inventors, even myself, you shy away from. You know, you have all this work on your desk, and you always leave that one thing you don't like. You know, But with an inventor, those things have to be done, and sometimes you need to bring on a partner. You need to bring somebody else on to help, and it's so important to have the right structure from the beginning. I mean, you've probably. Yep. Horror stories of, you know, inventors, you know, coming together and having the wrong partners in place. And it could really ruin so many things, right?
Yeah, totally. I mean, you get people that are well-intentioned up front. It happens a lot, even in business outside patents, you know, that just, oh no, we'll go 50-50. It's all good. Down the road, you know, tens of thousands of dollars later, you actually had a totally different goal in mind. You know, you didn't have a shared vision. You had nothing documented as far as how you would operate, what your shared responsibilities would be. That's the kind of business advice that you need. Of course, there's some legal stuff to do there too, informing your entity and documenting liabilities and, you know, all that. But it's the plan. You didn't necessarily have a clear plan, and you didn't get the right people on the bus, on your team, whether you got a patent or not, right? That's business, kind of one-on-one stuff. And so we help advise on that in conjunction with, you know, building your brand, developing all the artistic stuff, right? All the writings, all the videos and the copy, you know, the performances, even if you've got music, all that's under copyright, and how that should be protected and thought about and shared with the public.
Yeah. No, it's great. Yeah. Awesome. We're kind of running a little long time. I have one question. I have a couple of questions that came in. I'll send the others to you. But one that I'm actually interested in, a question coming in is that the person is having an external artist develop their logos, all of their documentation, their pictures, I guess logos, and they just called it drawings. How can they own those if someone else creates them for them? So the question was, how do they own them? Like, well, I think a lot of people don't realize that they don't own, if you hire somebody to do a logo, I don't think people realize that they don't own that logo, right?
Yeah, by default, they do not. Yeah, it's the artist and creator that owns it. And so you have to create a very specific contract called a work for hire contract. Okay. And that's very particular terms. And it must be spelled out to, you know, the party giving up rights very specifically. We write those quite often. It's, you know, not always the case that we get to talk with the owner up front before they engage for services. And so if you try to enforce a contract like that after they've started creating, there's really not consideration. And so the contract's not valid. So we try to get with clients ahead of time. This is why we talk with inventors. Before they really start their business venture and start bringing in vendors and suppliers. So, you know, if you're in the middle of working with this individual or this company in developing your designs and logos, go look at the contract, if there is one, between you and that company or that designer. My guess is that there's not a provision to where they will assign all of their rights to you. you have to very clearly state that. And that's part of the work for hire agreement. So go look. If you're starting a new engagement with a, you know, vendor, a designer, that's something you can get help with. I mean, our firm can do that. A lot of other firms can do that for you. You don't have to work with us, but that's how you would control the IP.
Super important though, because obviously you want your company to grow, and 5 mm-hmm. or 10 years later, when your company is a $1 billion company, that artist can come back and say, I own that logo. It could be an issue.
Yeah. And believe me, they would. It's kind of those things like people ask, well, so-and-so didn't get sued. They didn't get in trouble for doing that. Well, that's because what they did wasn't successful. Right? Yeah. If they made $1 million, a lot of folks would be knocking on their doors. So we, of course, are optimistic, and we make sure that we're putting the right things in place so that when, you know, if and when you do make it big, you will not have those issues and the liability won't be there. So, yeah, that's a good question. I'm glad that came up.
Yeah, so am I. And again, it goes back to what I love about what you guys are doing. You're setting the right foundation. It's hard enough to run a business. It's hard enough to make money. Yeah. It's hard enough to survive. But to worry about those things coming back to bite you, it really clears your mind knowing that somebody like, you know, you guys have set that foundation, have set it up for you to proceed and be progressive with your company. People don't realize that all those things really weigh on your mind if you don't do it right.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, man. Well, we're constantly learning about the law. I mean, there's a lot of things I've been doing lately. I don't know how much time you have on this session, but maybe on a future session, we can talk about some of the major changes coming down. A big one is with a case called Oil States Energy Services versus Greens Energy Group. And that was it's a Supreme Court case that was oral arguments were heard on November 27th. So just last month, 2-3 weeks ago. This could potentially invalidate the entire patent trial and appeal board. It was a huge case, wow. Right? So the American Invents Act put in place this PTAB, the Patent Trial and Appeal Board, as a separate entity to basically review patents that have been granted for, you know, error proofing and for going back and correcting anything that happened during prosecution. And what's being brought up by the petitioners is, they're saying, look, this PTAB, it's an Article I executive agency, not a judiciary. It's not a court, mm-hmm. not an Article III court. And what this PTAB has been doing for the past 5 years is striking patents down. They've been saying, no, we looked at this again and the examiner did it wrong. You lose all your claims, right? Patent holders, kind of nightmare, right? And the Supreme Court finally is hearing this, that this non-judicial agency has been striking down and taking away private rights. And so that's kind of the big argument before the Supreme Court, is whether patent rights are a public right bestowed on patent holders or a private right. And if the Supreme Court construes them to be private rights, a lot of experts agree that they're going to strike down the entire PTAB, which is going to be a huge win for patent holders and also a big win for, you know, folks that are looking to apply. It will boost their confidence in the patent system that, hey, once I get granted a patent, it's granted, right, for good. And so, you know, there's been a lot of hesitancy. You know, if you spend, tens of thousands of dollars, patent holders have been kind of like, oh, gosh, you know, there's still the risk of someone invalidating it later. So I'm hoping that there's a lot of clarity. I don't think the answer will come soon. They just heard arguments last month. We may hear middle of the year. To late in the year 2018, but it's a huge case. So that's Oil States Energy Services versus Greens. I've been doing some presentations on that. Excited to see what will happen.
That's some good information. But again, it just validates why it's important to have somebody like yourself, your firm involved right from the beginning. Yeah. Because, you know, you guys, yeah, I mean, I could have a patent out there and you'll probably send an email out saying, hey guys, listen, you know, look into this, or we've been looking into this. I mean, it's a lot better to have somebody like yourself, you know, behind us on our side than not knowing and just going
totally
through the process blind.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why having a patent attorney is helpful, you know, above and beyond a patent agent. Certainly patent agents are qualified, but you know what they may not be thinking about is your rights as an entity holder. The latest legal cases, you know, those agents aren't necessarily trained in the law. And so not having that foresight is a little bit limited. So it's important to work with a patent attorney. It doesn't have to be our firm, but, you know, if you'd like it to be, we'd be more than happy to chat with you.
Yeah, that's great. Well, again, we're kind of running out of time. I'd love to invite you back on the show. Give us some updates. Give us some different things. I had some other questions come in, but as I said, I'll send them in to you. I would love to explore on another show one day the process of actually going after someone who is violating a patent, because a lot of our inventors think that they have this patent on the wall and they believe that the patent office is the patent police, that you know, they just can send email out and the person is going to stop, you know, and again, we'll explore it later, but I mean, you probably hear this so often and it's just, it's a long process, right?
Can be. Yeah. And it starts with, you know, unfortunately we have to now go through the process of validating the patent claims. You know, if you're up against a big company like an Amazon or Google or a Facebook, that's the first thing they're going to do, is they're going to send it to this PTAB group I was just talking about. Mm-hmm. They're going to try to invalidate your patent. So we do a validity opinion. We go and look and say, okay, did the examiner really look at all the prior art? Are these claims going to hold up in a PTAB proceeding? Second phase is, are, you know, so once it is valid, are they really infringing? So we do another infringement opinion. So this is, you know, it's a lot of work, a lot of digging in. Some people might look and say, hey, you know, these guys are ripping me off. You know, look at this widget. It's got the same exact lever as mine. Well, did you actually claim that? Is that in your claim language? You might have a picture of it, but did you get, were you granted the rights to that exact lever working in that way? So we can help do a full on opinion analysis. Then finally, we would send a cease and desist letter, right? And we can walk through a lot of this. But the goal is to settle. God, nobody wants to go to court. Yeah. No one wants to pay the attorneys. And that's who wins in a trial, is the attorneys. I don't necessarily want that for my clients. I want them to get a settlement. So you want a settlement either to, you know, cease and truly stop production from the infringing party, or get a royalty and a license deal. It's a heck of a way to monetize. You know, patent trolls get a bad rap for this, but that's how a lot of inventors get rewarded. Mm. They sell their rights to a troll, right? And those trolls actually go enforce the rights and they get a royalty on what was created by the inventor. So I'm actually kind of a pro troll, if you will. I mean, it's because the inventors get rewarded, you know, we all get smarter because inventors were incentivized to patent something. They didn't keep their inventions or their new ideas secret, right? They shared them with the world through patent law. That's why patent law was created. So there's not these secret groups of information. We all get smarter slowly but surely. And so anyway, I could go on for a long time about that. But,
yeah, I agree. It's such a touchy subject because I feel that you don't want to go to court. It takes a lot of preparation, a lot of hours. To me, I feel that just by talking to you, you like doing the fun stuff. You like doing the patents and doing the research. But going to court and doing all that research, it just seems to be like such a monotonous thing.
Yeah, we've got co-counsel. You know, everybody deserves their day in court. If that was the right move to make, we will work with co-counsel and make that happen. It's just usually not the most efficient way to use resources.
Yeah, I agree. So, all right, great. Well, I would love to, like I said, this is such a great subject and it's needed by every inventor. It's hard for us to cover every little thing. And that's why I would love to have you back on the show and we'll cover some things. And you could update us on things that are happening. And it's such a great bit of information that hopefully our listeners are getting some great stuff out of it. Obviously we had some questions come in and I'll send the other ones over to you. For anybody that sent in a question, I guarantee we're going to get you an answer. Don't worry.
Well, thank you, Carmine, for having me on the show. It's an honor to be with you guys at the Inventors Launchpad. You know, you guys are doing great work and I'd be happy to come back, you know, who knows, early next year. And we'll do maybe a little series. Who knows?
Yeah, that sounds great. It'd be awesome. It's very well needed in industry, as you know, as everyone knows, and we love it. And I appreciate you. I know you're busy. I appreciate you being on the show. You have a great holiday, and we'll talk to you again very soon.
Same to you.
Take care, buddy.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. If you found the information helpful, we hope you'll pass along our podcast and website to your friends, InventorsLaunchpad.com. If you need help with an idea, invention, or have a topic for an upcoming show, don't hesitate to contact us through our website. This has been an Inventors Launchpad production. All statements and discussions are purely the opinions of the host and guests and should not be taken as legal or business advice.